think it was 3 weeks ago, I threw a hook shot over our tallest kid and made it. And I think Desmond was thinking the old man's got no moves, and yet I threw a hook shot over him. I think I made one basket. I shared a bowl of soup. It really was my bowl of soup, but I sat at Sarah's Mediterranean Cafe with a bowl of what I think is the very best soup in town, the lentil soup at Sarah's Cafe. I expect a free bowl next time I'm there. And I'm trying to eat the bowl of soup while a little boy thinks I need to help feed the preacher because he's not good enough to do it. And so we shared that bowl of soup. I sat in the back on the couches in our office with a kid on each side and three Oreos. And the kids would eat the part of the Oreo they liked and would give me the rest. And I didn't want to be mean, so I ate soggy Oreo with no middle in the... I stood up here all VBS week. I sat in a classroom with fifth and sixth graders. I walked room after room after room watching our people with the kids of this church and this community. And I'm honored that one of the things that matters to us so much is children. I moved around quite a bit as a kid. In fact, there was a period of time I went to 5 different schools within a 3-year period. And that was not a whole lot of fun. One of the things I kind of vowed Nikki, and when Jonah was born, I kind of vowed Jonah quietly, is I didn't want to be the preacher who every couple of years moved somewhere else. I wanted to find a place to stay and stay there for as long as I could so he could enjoy the same schools, the same group of friends, and a big part of it was to enjoy the same church. And so my kid grew up in this place. And he looks back at his time at Country Club Road with great fondness and great love. And he's been so well supported by the people of this church because that's who we are. Because children matter at this place. There's this line that sometimes comes out where they say, children are the church of tomorrow. And I understand why we say that. They're the future leaders. They're the preachers, and they're the Bible class teachers, and they're the missionaries, and they're the ones that are going to be helping fund the church through their jobs and their giving and working as they serve. But in many ways, they're the church of the right now, too. And if you don't believe that, go sit among our teenagers sometime and hear them talk about God. Go see as they look at a culture and a world that is bound up in watching cell phones, and they say, well, maybe there's got to be something better. Or go sit in a kindergarten class and say, what do you know about God? And then listen to them tell you about God. Or one day go peek through the nursery window as Charlotte is teaching them one of 100 million songs that I believe she knows. Everything from Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, to songs I've never heard of. As she sits in that little tiny chair and all of those little bodies around her are singing about a God they're just now starting to see. Children matter at this place. They matter at this place because leadership and because membership says they're important. Because we view them as this precious gift of God. And so one of the things and one of the goals of this church is to walk with parents. Not to do the parenting from them. That's not our job. Not to be a place where you drop off your kids and run off and get Starbucks. That's not the right thing either. But to be a place that walks alongside young families in a world that doesn't always do that and say, how can we help you raise your kids? And how can we see your children as our children and this precious gift from God? And so I've watched a lot of you. I've watched you parent. And I've watched you struggle. I've met with some of you, and we've talked about things like discipline and consistency. We've talked about right and wrong and left and right and all of the things that go on in the way you raise your kids. And I hope you've left any of those things with the understanding that this church loves you. But let me tell you what your kids have taught me. What's interesting is I'm going to blend what your kids have taught me with what Jesus has taught me. The first thing your kids have taught me is to welcome the wayward. During VBS, you always get a new kid in class on Tuesday. And I always feel bad for the new kid on Tuesday because, you know, Monday you've told stories and everybody's kind of gotten to know each other and you've done some goofy games, or at least the older kids have, the ones that I teach, and you've done some goofy things that kind of get them out of their little shell. And then the poor new guy comes in on Tuesday and it's like, I don't know anybody. And our kids are amazing. I had a new kid come in on Tuesday, this last VBS, and the first thing that happened is there were two guys and there were two girls that instantly surrounded the new kid, and they didn't know the new kid from Adam. And they said, here's our class, and here's what we're going to do, and here's the way to get the teacher mad, and here's how we steal cookies from the teacher later on. And I mean, they were giving him all the lowdown on what was going to happen for the next 4 hours in VBS. They knew to welcome. That those kids knew that that poor guy kind of might feel out of place. Let's make sure he doesn't. But yet Jesus does the same thing. We get this story, and we're going to look at three different incidents in the life of Jesus. And they may tell the same story, they may not. But Matthew 19 reads like this. Then the people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Okay, I love this story about Jesus. And one of the reasons I love this story about Jesus is he has a deep love. Now, if you watch Jesus through the Gospels, he has a deep love for the marginalized. So for those that are kind of on the outskirts, for those who are on the edge and who are maybe in a rough spot and maybe facing difficulty and maybe even living lives of sin, Jesus has got this deep love for the marginalized, but he's also got a deep love for the innocent. And it's seen here. And I can almost imagine the scene. Maybe Jesus is sitting on a tree stump, and he's teaching the masses. And as he's sitting on the tree stump, these little kids start to come. And maybe it's the parents sending them, I don't know. But the kids start to come around Jesus, and it says that he's going to bless them. They weren't a distraction to him. One of the parents said, what's going to happen if my little kid charges the stage on you? And I said, well, I'm going to scoop him up, and we're going to preach together. Because that's not a distraction to me. When your kids complain, when your kids throw a fit, when your kids say really, really, really loud, when is he going to stop talking? That doesn't distract me, and that doesn't bother me. And my guess is that didn't bother Jesus a bit. And if anything, Jesus, as I see him sitting on this tree stump, instead of saying, well, you guys go sit with mom and dad, instead, he does exactly what they need. He blesses them. And we, as God's children, I think we approach the kingdom with a childlike faith. Here's what I see in your kids. I always see a sense of humility. That they understand where they are. They realize they're not the adult. They realize they're not the boss. Most of them do. Some of them think they're the boss. They realize a lot of things, but in the midst of that, they approach their life with humility. They approach with openness. You know, if you are afraid of the answer you're going to get from a kid, do not ask the question. Because they're going to be honest, and they're going to be open, and whatever's going to be on their brain is going to flow out of their mouth because they haven't quite figured out how to use a filter yet. They're humble, they're open, and they're trusting. I remember not too long ago, we had a kid stuck on one of the chairs. So we got the chairs on the back, and I hate the chairs on the back. I don't know what else to do with them, but I hate the chairs on the back. And so a kid has made his way to the very back of the chairs, and he's about 10 rows deep into the chairs, and he's finally realized that he's 10 rows deep into the chairs, and he's a little bit nervous. And so he hollers out at the top of his lungs, Daddy. And there's... I mean, you've been in that gym on Wednesday night. It's organized. No, it's not organized. It's just chaos. I mean, there's basketball going on, and there's foursquare going on, and they're playing flag football, and then they're doing hula hoops, and they're doing scooters, and they fly a kite in there the other day. They're doing all of these things in that room, and that little boy from the other side of the gym yells out, Daddy, and Dad says, I'll be right there, don't worry. And that kid went from being a mess to, okay, Dad has got this. They trust. That they've got this understanding of who is in their lives, of those adults, whether they're parents or grandparents that surround them, and they know that they've got the best out for them, and not every kid in the world has got that. And we can all watch the news, and we can all read the stories, and we can all talk with people we know that work at CYFD and see that our kids have got something a whole lot of kids don't. And so we approach them in a way that honors them, their humility and their openness and their trust. But Jesus also wanted to bless. We keep going in that passage, and he gets to verse 15, and Jesus is going to say this, "And when he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there." Okay, that doesn't sound like much, but here's what I think it means. He took the time to finish what he was doing. That even though he had a schedule, and even though maybe he had an event that he needed to be next, that even though he had to be down there or in another town in just a few hours, Matthew tells us when he had finished doing what they needed blessing. They needed Jesus to place his hands on them. They needed Jesus to acknowledge their presence and spend a little time with them. And Jesus says exactly that. Here's what I'm going to do. So how are we as this church in this place going to bless the next generation? How are we going to do what Jesus does as he sits on the stump and he blesses these kids? And I don't know what that means exactly. If it means he prays over them, if it means he pats them on the head, if it, he tells them a dad joke, if whatever it is that's going on that lets those kids see him as real and authentic and someone who cares, Jesus did exactly that. And how are we going to do it? Okay, I'm going to give you a couple things. First, I want you to encourage them. When we read of one of our kids in the bulletin that's done something great, acknowledge that. When you see a kid in the gym do the right thing, and kids don't always do the right thing in the gym, but when you see a kid in the gym do the right thing, go tell that kid how proud you are that they did the right thing. When you're in Journeyland or you're in VBS and you're in and around our kids and you're helping teach and encourage and mentor them, encourage them as much as you can. And not only encourage them, but encourage their parents. Okay, some of you haven't parented in a very long time. I don't want to say it's different, but I want to say it's different. Raising a child in this world is hard. And raising a child to follow God is hard. And raising a child that will stay in church when they're 25 is hard. So not only should we be about the business of encouraging our kids, but I think we need to be about the business of encouraging our families. As we watch them struggle and as we watch them monitor and work their way through a world that's a little bit crazy and a school that doesn't always work the way we'd like and relationships and all of those things that happen, let's make sure we encourage. But the second thing is I hope you will be praying. Okay, I think I've told this story before. Sometimes it's early in the morning if I get here before the rest of the staff. Sometimes it's after all the staff has left. I come to my perch. This is called my perch. You don't know that. But I come and I sit on this perch. And all of you are so consistent. You two have sat in that pew since Tyler was this big. The West, they always sit in that spot. The Mendozas, you guys always sit in the same exact spot. So I sit here and I just close my eyes and I know where everybody's sitting. And I pray for parents and I pray for older people and I pray for kids. And I work my way just kind of through the room as I think of who you are and what you're going through and the struggles that you have. And what I have found myself doing more and more is praying by name the kids of this place. Because I think that matters. And I hope you do the same thing. You can break out the directory. You don't need to come sit on my perch. But if you want to come sit on the perch, you're welcome to. And we'll do it together if you want to. But just look through and thumb through. We have so many children right now. We have children coming out of the woodwork, most of whom are ours, but some of them who aren't ours and yet are connected to us in some way through other friends. And what a privilege to not only encourage them, but to pray. And then I hope you'll help guide. Whether it's through mentoring parents, whether it's through helping guide in the midst of Journeyland and VBS, or the last thing, I hope you'll teach them. Okay, I want to brag about our Journeyland program. I had another church that called me and said, "What do you guys do for curriculum for your kids?" And I said, well, I don't know if you can do what we do, But here's what we do. And so I told him all about Journeyland and how kids kind of over the course of their elementary years will learn the entire Bible if they're with us. And they'll go from stage to stage and learn it from different angles and different places. And it's the best children's curriculum I've seen in 35 years of ministry. And it's not that hard for you to join in. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be as good of a teacher as Melissa and all the others that are on there. You can sit right there, and all your job has to be is to check and see if they're there and know their names and help out. And what a privilege to be able to volunteer and to help guide and teach our kids. Because all of these things need to be reflected in how we practice being the church. 5 or 6 years ago, we had a Grumposaurus, that's my new word. I figured out what the sign language sign for Grumposaurus is, so I'm going to keep using it. And she cornered me in the back and said, you know, I'm 92 years old. I don't remember if she was 92 or not, but let's just pretend she was 92. And all of these, she called your kids your stinking kids. All of these stinking kids keep running around, and one day they're going to trip me and I'm going to squash one of them. And I wanted to say, because they're a lot faster than you are. She was grumpy because we had all these kids running around. And I know for some of you, walking down these aisles can sometimes be difficult. That's one of the reasons we heard them over there for at least a little bit. But the idea that they're running around this place, what a privilege. The third thing is I think we need to guard. One of the things that's important to this church is protecting them. But not only protecting them, but realizing who they are. Again, we go back to Mark 10 this time. And Mark's going to tell this story. Maybe the same story, but the words are just a little different. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. And he said to them, "Let the little children come to me." I almost see Jesus as getting a little flare of anger. And often we have Jesus in this nice, calm, preaching, discipling mode. He's all friendly and loving. But there are moments that Jesus gets fired up, and we probably shouldn't minimize those moments when he gets fired up. And here's one of those moments. That as the kids are coming to them, he gets fired up, he's indignant, and he realizes they're trying to get rid of something important that needs to be done because they matter. We need to imitate Jesus. If there are obstacles in the way of our kids from experiencing faith and community, we need to figure out how to get rid of those. That not only do we need to figure out how to get rid of obstacles that get in the way of our kids' faith and journey with God, but we need to realize that they need to be protected. Okay, we're going to talk more about this in a couple of minutes, but the safety of your children matters immensely. You notice that at VBS. Every kid's got a badge, and every teacher's got a badge, and every parent has got a badge, and every teacher's got a list of things from what they're allergic to who can take them home. And that's because our world is a mess, and that stuff matters. That one of our greatest fears is a kid will walk out, or one of our greatest fears is that the parent who does not have custody and might do horrible things might come and prey on one of our children. And our security team is doing the very best they can to help keep our kids safe. And as we start doing things in that building that we'll talk about more, security is going to be a huge part of that. Because unfortunately, bad things happen even in good places. And so we want to guard the genuine. The next thing is I think we want to embrace the future. When Jesus gets to the end of Mark chapter 10, he says this in verse 16, and he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. I love that little glimpse of Jesus taking the children into his arms. Okay, now most of you know I don't hug. I pat on the back. You might get a side hug. Some of you are mean and obtrusive and you invade my space. I never keep your kids away, though. There are 4 or 5 kids that like to hang on my leg as I walk around. That's okay. And even though I'd rather them stand behind me and let me pat them on the head and say, "Good job, little boy," I want to love them and I want to support them. And metaphorically, this means so much to me. I want to know every one of our kids by name. And if a kid runs by me, I want to be able to call out their name, not to bark at them to slow down, but to call out their name because I know who they are. And I want to know what they're doing, and I want to know where they go to school, and I want to know what kind of activities they do, and I want to know if they like math class, or if they like English class, or if they just like recess, and I want to know if they like pizza over burritos, and I want to know because I want to be able to support them. And I want them to know that their preacher, who's the same age as their grandpa, that he cares about them, that he matters to them. I want to help educate. I think metaphorically, as Jesus wraps his arms around them, it's not just support and love, but it's helping teach and helping them grow in their faith. And I want to embody the call of Jesus. And as I sit on my proverbial tree stump, I want to be like him. But I don't want it just to be me sitting on the proverbial tree stump. I want it to be all of us. As we sit in this place, and as our kids run around us, I want us to be the ones who love them in tangible ways, who encourage them and support them, and who know their names, and who are praying for them steadfastly. But then the last thing, kids matter because they foster, I worked on this line really hard, and now I don't like it. They foster a faith-filled future. Notice all those F's. I was trying to be fancy. Luke 18, let's let Jesus be fancy instead of me. Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." See, the kingdom belongs to these. I love what Brandon said. Dale English told me almost the same thing verbatim that Brandon said at the beginning of his discussion, is that children in this place are important, but we are all children as well. That we are God's children, and the kingdom belongs to us. But one of the calls I want us to make this morning is, how can our children flourish in this place? Okay, let me tell you about some stuff we do. You saw a little bit of the VBS thank you. Again, I've seen a lot of VBSs, not only in our town, but other places. And ours is the best. And that's not me being a Country Club Road homer. I talked about Journeyland already. If you've never watched Journeyland in action, I'm going to encourage you to do it. Go watch Melissa and her team do such an amazing job teaching our kids. You've got Children's Church that is going on the other end that has done a couple of things. It's maybe allowed you a little more focus here because you don't have a child tugging on your shirt saying, "When is this done?" But it's also let us teach and grow and affect. And the Children's Church crew, they're always asking me, okay, what's the schedule we're going to preach on? And what are the things you're going to be teaching on the next month and quarter? And they're kind of making me think a little bit more ahead than sometimes I would like to, because they want to take those same ideas and those same concepts and be teaching our little kids from barely walking till fourth or fifth grade. And what a privilege they're getting as they're learning more about God in that environment where they can still be kids, but they can still understand being in church or being in worship matters. And then you're going to start seeing a lot of activities. If you notice in your bulletin, we got a movie night on the horizon. That's geared for parents and kids. We're going to have worship in the park. And the beauty of having worship in the park is we'll have some time of worship, but we're going to be close enough to a pretty cool park where your kids can go play for a little bit in a pretty cool park if it's not underwater. Where your kids can go play in a cool park and enjoy, and you can watch them do those things and watch the church be around them. And then in the future, there's some pretty grand ideas about what to do with that big building that's just to the other side of this one. We want to make it the place where the kids are, where the kids are safe, where the kids are taught, where the kids are allowed to play. And we've got a team right now of visionaries that are working with architects that are trying to say, here's what this little section needs to look like, and here's what we need to see. And there'll be more information on that further down the road, because there's going to be a call or two for us to join the journey. But all of that is going on is what is the very best thing for our kids. Because kids matter. We were on a flight yesterday afternoon from Dallas to Roswell. So I'm sitting there. I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't know if I was reading a book or if I was making fun of Nikki or something. But kid behind me just throws a holy fit. And so I just started looking around at all the other faces that are going to be on that same little tiny airplane that goes from Dallas to Roswell. And you could see the look on some of those people's faces. And it was like, oh, we got to spend the next hour and 15 minutes on the plane with that kid. Turned out that kid was perfect. And some of the other adults, they were the ornery ones. I love the sound of your kids. Ken, does it bother you when you get a high-pitched kid squeal in the middle of a song? Not a bit. I know most of the time the kids are not here during my sermon, but there has never been once in I don't know how many thousands and thousands of sermons you've heard me preach where your child has bothered me, because that's a great sound. I was telling one of my preacher friends the other day, I would rather hear the sound of babies crying than old men snoring any day of the week, because kids matter. Okay, very rarely do I quote pop music, but I'm not going to sing it to you, but I'm going to quote a song that came out when I was a teenager. I believe children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter, and then the song goes on from there. That's a pagan song to a pagan world, but man, that's got a good meaning. Your kids are the future of this place. And someday it'll be your kids that'll be standing up here preaching. It'll be your kids that will be standing up doing the communion. It'll be your kids that will be leading the songs and the prayers. What's interesting is on certain Sundays, there will be Bryce up here leading songs and maybe Mac Rogers doing the communion thought. And I'll think, I remember those two as just little fifth and sixth graders. Because children matter. This place, both now and in the future. So I hope you realize that. And I hope you journey with us to help make it the best place we can. So we're going to sing. If you need something, elders will be at every door. If you need